I would like to relate some things to you that are presently on the new bulletin that I think has been distributed for the month of March. Some of the new names include Baylor Jones. This is one of the Doritos from down in Birmingham, his son who fell down backwards down a flight of stairs and had some very serious injuries as a result. But down at the Houston Medical Center, he's making a great recovery. It was touch and go there for a while. Again, his name is Baylor, Baylor Jones. You can remove Steve Reynolds from the list. You can also retain Alyssa Ream. Sherry Drews is absent from the body and face-to-face with the Lord. Reggie LaPointe, same with, for him to be removed from the list. And Sherry Adams. Also, Nancy Crichton. And looks like Shirley Gensimer, I've been told, is off the prayer list now, which is good news. Nancy Crichton down at Baraka and John Glover. Those are the people that keep in prayer. Also, there are missionaries that were mentioned a moment ago in the prayer that have to do with what's going on in Eastern Europe. Please bring in prayer for those people who are trying to evacuate Ukraine. We have information that those that we know who in Operation Grace World Missions have been able to get out of the Ukraine and made it into either Romania or Poland. So they're in a safe area. So continue your prayers for these people who are in Operation Grace World Missions. Does anyone have anything to add to our list? Okay then. All of that's out of the way. Let's now pause for a moment of silent prayer. You may use rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the article that's before us that clearly points out the dark side's aspirations with regard to the future of this client nation. May we be those invisible heroes that can fight against this assault against our freedoms. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I've done what? Well, the reason I'm pausing pregnantly is I've got 6 pages missing from my binder. I was about to teach critical race theory, but I'll try to proceed beginning on page 255. What goes before that, I have already discussed with you. That's on page 254, and I gave you the context and the opportunity. Okay. Then as we turn the page, we're at point 5 on page 255. Does everybody have that now? If ever present-day believers need to focus on the inculcation, facilitation, and application of the Word of God, it is the present hour. Interestingly enough, the doctrinal diatribe by which James scolds his members of his Jerusalem church and the remote diaspora is no different than others delivered by pastors over the course of biblical history and which have continued throughout the 2 millennia of the church age. The Word of God's alive and powerful, and it doesn't matter when it is referenced, it's always true. It's always true that things that the Bible says is a bad thing, it's always going to be a bad thing. And whatever's a good thing is always going to be a good thing. The Bible's very clear with that, with the concept of pistuo. It's a transitive verb, has to have an object. What's the object? This is a bad idea, don't do this. This is a good idea, try to do that. Therefore, out of humility, consider yourselves to be the targets of James's ongoing dressing down in the present hour. His live audience is the first century AD, a long time gone. Yet, Here's the point. Go back to 45 AD. It's a long time gone, almost 2,000 years approximately. And yet it is as valid today as it was the day he wrote it. Same thing going on in Palestine is now going on again here. And it has repeated itself throughout the 2,000 years. Lucifer never gives up. Remember, everything we study is foundationally associated with the invisible war. It's simply a courtroom deal. And you're a witness for the prosecution. Principle. You are his current parishioners, meaning James. Therefore, respond to what he keeps on communicating to you. For the sins about which he chastises his former flock are the same ones being committed today. So far in James 4:11, we have advanced this far. James 4:11, do not speak, that's may, that's a negative, that's do not. And then kata laleo. So do not speak against one another, brethren. That's the New American Standard. In other words, quit judging, castigating other members of the royal family. And if you do that, if you follow that direction here, that negative, then you're doing the right thing. Here's what you have to keep in mind. If another believer with whom you're familiar is making a poor decision, if you don't have authority over that person, you leave it alone and let God take care of that. They may not have been in doctrine as long as you have. Maybe they missed a very important Bible class or whatever. They've got to figure that out. So let the Holy Spirit take care of that problem. Now, if you have some authority over the person and feel like you're close enough to that individual to give them a little help, fine, but be very careful with that, because this person is trying to grow in grace. He may have only been at this like a couple of years and you've been at it for 33. So we've got that concept. Our study of the doctrine of reversionism delayed our return to this verse. But it is obvious that James is not letting up from his criticism of his parishioner's sins of the tongue. The verb kata laleo means to communicate. Okay. Kata means down or against, while laleo means to speak. Together they refer to slandering, maligning, judging, gossiping, or vilifying. To vilify. That's what people do to other believers, and they don't have the right to do it. There may be some circumstances where you can speak out because there's a situation that demands it. But that individual is trying to grow in grace. And if you want to intervene in some way, you have to do so very carefully and do so kindly. What I think you're missing here is thus and so. Check that out. Go back in your notes and see what I mean here, or so on. You don't castigate anybody. If you decide to step in because you feel it's important, you have to do it kindly. You have to use the royal law. And so that's what we have here. It is bad enough to slander or vilify others with whom you have no close association, but to do so toward fellow believers is to do so against fellow members of the royal family. Now, it does not matter whether these fellow believers' spiritual status happens to be. That's not your job. It may be evident because of the way they think and the things they say, but that's that person's issue, not yours. If you have children that don't get something, you have the responsibility to straighten them out and do so kindly and show them evidence. But with other people who are believers trying to plug along and get their minds right about what they're doing, about the Word of God, they have to figure that out. Just keep coming, sit down, shut up, fake it till you make it. They may be just out of fellowship. Now, virtually everyone involved is out of fellowship to some degree. The only common factor is they all are believers, but in various stages of spiritual decline. James is commanding them to enter into reversion recovery. James is doing that. He has the authority to do that. He is the pastor. But he does it from the pulpit. He's railed for 4.5 chapters now on the misbehavior of those in his congregation who've been misbehaving for the entire book so far. And he's going to keep going until he gets hoarse at the end of chapter 5. He never lets up. And this is the first book of the New Testament. So that should be something that gives you a little bit of a pause. If this is the first book, then what on earth is going to follow this? But this is not feel-good stuff. James is railing from the second verse of the book all the way to the last period of chapter 5. And he is relentless. And why is he? Because nobody gets it. They're Jews, Messianic Jews for sure, but nevertheless, they don't have any doctrine. So the question arises, could you really depend on anything else? They're Jews with no doctrine. He expects them to know more. And he also, part of his ministry is that the diaspora. There are Jews out there that know James, and he is going to be able to get his message to those guys and straighten them out wherever they are. And so we have sort of that situation here. Many churches do this. I'm talking to the people who assemble here, members of Grace Doctrine Church. But at the same time, going through the pipe up there, it goes out to Doritos out in wherever. And they are getting the information, and they have to straighten out their lives through the Word of God resident in their souls. And they just keep coming back. So what you see here is a relaxed mental attitude is required, but not from the pulpit. The pulpit, I can say to you guys, it is really great that y'all have done thus and so. Well, why would I say anything like that? Maybe it's recalled for an occasion. Everybody did such a nice job. Well, that's just trying to be courteous. But when it comes to doctrine from the pulpit, I get to call you everything independently from the pulpit without calling names because I don't really know who really needs what I'm about to say. None of my business. See, everybody has their own bailiwick. Where are you in the advance of the Word of God? How are you making your decisions and from what source, and do you retain it and facilitate it for future application? That's the issue. And I'm not going around asking people where they are in the process. That's your problem. Regardless of the current spiritual decline of each person, in the past, they were positive towards serious study of Scripture. Each was positive, making the advance in the edification complex of the soul, but influences from the dark side resulted in reversionism, and we spent a long time studying the doctrine of reversionism. If anybody's in reversionism, it's the parishioners at none other than James's church in Jerusalem. This inversion of thought was caused by propaganda spread by the faculty of the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. So I'm going to blame it on that. Cosmic Academy caused all of this. I had nothing to do with it. When truth is replaced by the lie, then standards and doctrines once facilitated from Bible study are gradually inhibited to be replaced by cosmic propaganda. See, that's how you go into reversionism. You get away from doctrine. You say you go on a vacation. Things are just moving smoothly. You've got new friends. Relatives have popped up. Opportunities have emerged. And you decide, I don't need no stinking doctrine. I'm doing great. Cosmic propaganda. The things that replace biblical absolutes vary, but the world provides a wide variety of options from which to choose. That's excellent English, by the way. You don't choose from. It's from which to choose. I did get a little English along the way. James's imperative to stop committing sins of the tongue is surely pertinent to the problem. But that problem has been pertinent throughout his writings so far. The emphasis here is the degree to which sins of the tongue have amplified with regard to fellow believers. Stop slandering one another, fellow members of the royal family of God. These are members of the royal family. Now, you may not like them. They may not part the hair the way you want to and all that kind of business, but they are members of the royal family. They need to be encouraged as hopefully they want to encourage you. We're all on the same team here. What follows next is not actually found in the original text of James, if you consult the King James Version, which reads this way: "He that speaketh evil of his brother." This phrase was also used starting off the verse, and here it is again. So we have followed. What follows next is not actually found in the original text of James if you consult the King James Version. That's why you need, if you have a King James Version and your grandmother on your mama's side gave you that Bible before she died, do not use that to study the Word of God. Put it up on a little table and say, that's Grandmama Jones's Bible. That was the one she used. And we keep it there as a reminder of her, but we do not open it. The Greek words for evil include, one, the adjective kakos, in the moral sense, wicked, vicious, or two, the noun thallus, can be translated evil, wicked, depraved, or evil deeds. So in James 4:11, these words are not found, but rather the repetition of the verse's opening word, slandering, kata laleo. This may be considered evil, but its inclusion is not found in the Greek text and thus the translator's commentary rather than a translation. The translator's commentary. I use the word commentary because they made this up. It's not there. Yet it's in the Bible, the English Bibles. The verb kata laleo, which opens the verse, is the present active imperative of the negative may, speak not. Its second use is a present active participle, which indicates a series of sins of the tongue. The inherent problem with mental attitude sins is their propensity to morph into sins of the tongue and all the various verbs from which one's cosmic vocabulary may select. Now understand that somebody had to sit down with the Greek and decide how they were going to bring the verse, this particular one, James 4:11, into the English. And they made stuff up on the fly. The word slander is the one James uses to describe the problem. It might be instructive to take a brief look at how English dictionaries define the word slander. Okay, if you're going to slander somebody, be a professional about it. You're going to have to use English words. To bring into discredit, this is Oxford English Dictionary, that's the Brits. To bring into discredit, disgrace, disrepute, to defame, to accuse unjustly, to speak or write evil of, to misrepresent or vilify. 56. Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary, unabridged. The utterance or spreading of false statement, harmful to another's character or reputation, disgrace, reproach, disparage, discredit, defame, or vilify. Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 11th edition. The utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation, a false and defamatory oral statement about a person, it means to defame, malign, or vilify. In other words, these are sins of the tongue. Now, this process is presently going on in the United States. Broadly throughout the nation, people in authority are slandering citizens in general and opponents specifically with accusations right out of the heart of hell. And you see this in the streets of America if you watch the news. If you in any way tend toward the concept of being, let's say, a laid-back individual, that wants to live his life going by the standards that have been evident in a free society for so many years. And then if you violate one of the new standards, then you're going to be called down, and they will take your money. All kinds of things are going on today that are illegal. I'm talking to a guy today that because he did something that another outfit didn't like, they decided to take his money. That's going on everywhere today. The laboratory of these accusations is an inventory of ideas that has been developed over time and now referenced to attack others verbally. Individuals, groups, races, and opponents are the targets of their vitriol. And people are not bashful to commit sins of the tongue to other people, and most of whom they don't even know. They wore the wrong colored shirt that day. So, the next sentence in the verse reads, "He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law." See, the law says you can't do this. You can't vilify other people. If you have some kind of authority over another person and they're not following the standards that are set up in the environment in which you function, then you can call them out on that. But you do so with a relaxed mental attitude in order to help the person see they're not thinking correctly. If we're going to get this job done in the way it should be, then it needs to be done this way. And the guy would say, "Well, thank you for pointing that out," and he'd move on. The next sentence in the verse reads, "He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law." What is the law? In the context of James, the law has to do with the royal law. It has to do with the fact that you function from the concept of the divine dynasphere. You function from the concept of Bible doctrine. You apply these things in your personal lives. Then you have to go back into the book of James and find out how is the law used in the book of James. And when you do that, you find three major passages, and it all centers around the concept of the royal law. Can you do that? The sentence opens with a second use of the word for slander. This time, the present active participle of katalaleo, he who speaks against his brother, is the way it begins. And the word brother is the masculine noun of adelphos, which refers to one's fellow believer. That's why you say, Brother Fred and Sister Maureen. If you've ever been in a Baptist church, you wind up being related to everybody. So you come in, "Have you met Brother Fred here?" "Well, you don't know him, I'm off ox." "No, I don't know Brother Fred." "Well, nice to meet you, Brother Fred." He may have just robbed the Chase Manhattan, and suddenly he's your brother. Okay. The word is the objective genitive and indicates a person he knows personally. Today in some churches, people refer to fellow members as Brother Fred and Sister Maureen. In this case, it's Brother Fred. Now, I've not seen this used here in the time I've been at Grace Doctrine Church. And I want to tell you all how much I appreciate that. Now, it's hard to distinguish with the Davies because pretty much everybody's a brother or a sister with that crowd. But otherwise, you're not to refer to, if Paul can look at Mark over there and say, "Brother Mark," I don't know if he's ever said that to Mark before. He's had several things to say to Mark, but not that. And vice versa, I'm sure. Yeah, well. But the best legitimate when y'all call each other brother. Now, you've got sisters, don't you? There's Sister Maureen somewhere? Yeah. Well, it was a prolific family. Brother Fred is being slandered by someone he knows. Slandering someone means to malign another believer, but without a basis for the accusation. If instead you judge the person because you think you have some information on him, yet without certainty, you go ahead and judge him anyway, and both of those decisions are evil. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't talk about it. When calling out another believer, regardless of what you say, you commit a verbal sin. There are mental sins, verbal sins, and overt sins. This issue is between him and the Lord. To spread information about another believer is slander. And that, by the way, in some situations, that's even a crime. So far, we have a reversionistic believer judging another believer. He communicates that person's behavior to another fellow believer, which results in gossip. So people can mill around during halftime and corner someone in a corner around here somewhere and say, I want to tell you about Brother Fred. And then in a corner of this church, someone can be vilifying another believer. And James, why do you think James is so upset for five solid chapters? Why? Because that's what's going on in his church, and it's open. You can't even deny it. The man that had rings on all of his fingers, he thought he could sit on the front row. Well, you have I'm not going to call him a beggar, but he was poor. And the guy running the show, the usher, said, why don't you just sit down on the floor by me? Guy, his fingers are filled with rings, probably pearls. And he got the front row. But this other guy who shows up in whatever he could find to wear goes to the church to grow in grace, and the usher says, sit down on the floor by me. Well, I don't know the spiritual life of either one of them because it's not revealed specifically, but it is demonstrated evidently that the guy on the front row didn't deserve the front row seat. Yet he got it because the usher said, you may sit here because your fingers are full of gold. And the other guy who says, I can improve my life by showing up and listening to what Jesus Christ has done and what he's got to say and how that can affect me positively. I can pull myself out of the situation I'm in if I can change the way I think, make good decisions from a position of strength, and therefore follow those directives consistently in my life, and I'll be okay. So far, we have a reversionistic believer judging another believer. He communicates that person's behavior to another fellow believer, which results in gossip. So far, our sequence of events has progressed this way. The verse begins with a prohibition against slander. We have me kata laleo, stop slandering. Me is the negative here, stop, and kata laleo is slandering, stop that. Followed by the plural noun, adelphos, fellow members of the royal family of God. I have to do it this way. The next sentence reads this way in the New American Standard. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother and judges the law. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother and judges the law. What does it mean by judging the law? What's the law? We go back to the first chapter and the second chapter and we find out it's the royal law. You can't be saying these things about a fellow believer. What's wrong with you? That's what James is saying. We have established that the verb to speak, kata laleo, is best translated slander. Now by slandering his fellow believer, he increases the problem by adding the sin of judging his fellow believer. You're not in the business of judging other believers unless you have personal authority from Scripture to do so. What would that be? That would be, for example, a father trying to straighten out a child that needs guidance. That'd be a good example. But another believer that seems to be committing sins, that person needs to be handled with the royal law. Why? If there's anything you can do to communicate the idea that maybe he is not thinking clearly from the Word of God, then maybe something you could do would help. Primarily, stay out of the way. I have never seen, in the time we spent at Baraka Church, every night, Monday through Sunday, or Sunday through Saturday. Saturday was Saturday night at the movies. So we had Bible class every night, and when it was time for the movie on Saturday night, the colonel would give you an introduction to the movie we're about to watch. And the movie was always about establishment viewpoint or biblical concepts. And he would give us a short address about that. So that the movie we saw was therefore something that we could watch and enjoy, but also at the same time learn some biblical concepts from it. So never a day went by we didn't have a Bible class. And in that process, you had people that would gather. They came from all over the place in those days. They had behind the glass, you had the rooms behind the hallway outside. There were way over 1,000 people would gather every night and sit there riveted. Why am I telling you this? Because he was giving information to those who gathered how to think, how to change the way they think, how to apply what they think. And in order to do that, there had to be order in the congregation. And he would only stop and call people out when they were bothering other people by the way they were behaving. So that everybody could then get back to concentrating on what he had to say. There was always a reason for doing what he did. And what was it primarily? People are doing things in their seats that distract other people from what I've got to say, and what I've got to say is the Word of God. I learned from that. The next sentence reads this way in the New American Standard. He who speaks against a brother or judges a brother judges the law. We have established that the verb to speak, kataleo, is best translated slander. Now, by slandering his fellow believer, he increases the problem by adding the sin of judging his fellow believer. So now we have the word judge or judges. It's in the plural of the noun krino. This word does mean to judge, but it has other meanings dependent on the context. And here it is intensified and best translated condemn. So there are levels of meaning dependent upon its position in the flow of the context. So slander refers to maligning someone without a basis to do so. Judging means to have some information, erroneous or not, yet you use it. Thus we have two verbal sins. First, kata leleo, to slander. The second is krino, to judge. So we slander and judge. Slander refers to speaking against another believer while judging him carries with it the idea of condemnation. Now you're railing at another believer here. That's not the royal law. Slander refers to maligning someone without a basis to do so. Judging means to have some information erroneous and not, yet you use it. And you're not in the position to do so anyhow. Thus, we have two verbal sins. First, kata leleo, to slander. Second, krino, to judge. Slander refers to speaking against another believer while judging him carries with it the idea of condemnation. Now, who are you to condemn anybody? When these two sins of the tongue are directed toward another believer, they are considered to speak, quote, against the law. What's the law? The royal law. He keeps going back to this. If you are vilifying someone else, judging other people, you are violating the royal law. And the royal law is a very important law. Stay out of the way of other people. They may have just been coming to Bible class for like a month. And you've been going like for 50 years and you know everything. Well, that guy doesn't, and he needs to be left alone until he can catch up to speed. When these two sins of the tongue are directed toward another believer, they're considered to speak against the law. So far, we have the following sequence of events associated with the verb kataleleo. There are three. Number one, present active imperative plus the negative may. Stop slandering your fellow believers. That's the present active imperative. See, the imperative is a command. Secondly, present active participle. This means they have been repeatedly verbalizing this slander, thus establishing a standard of behavior. That's what the participle means. It keeps going. Number three, present active indicative means the habit continues regarding the law. The repetitions of three words in James's verse is building a case. He uses the verbal sin, kataleleo, slander, speaks slander. He does it three times. The word law is the noun nomos, used four times. The words krino, krites, one singular, one's plural, are used four times. So let's note the use of each individually. What we have coming up next is kata laleo with a negative may. Then we have krites, directed toward fellow believers, and so on we go. I want to stop here because I've gone too long, and I've made a mess of things this morning with the erroneous notes in my binder. So this is a good place to stop because we got three words here that have three different meanings. And we go down and we see those three words who are cited yet again. We need to see how all of this plays out because every bit of this is designed in James, in chapter 4, to go back to the royal law. Now, how that plays out is very important, so I'll try to get all of my notes straightened out by Wednesday night. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying these things today. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will take what we've designed to do and therefore contribute to our spiritual growth, understanding the responsibilities we have toward our fellow believers. And we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.